the mission. We want the crowd loud. Fist pumping, rhythm is hitting. We want to make it clear. We ain't scared. This is the vision we want. We want. We want. We want. We want.
Welcome to the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. I'm Mickey Huff. My co-host Peter Phillips will be back next week. Today on the program, we take a look back at the National Whistleblower Summit this past week in Washington, D.C. The Whistleblower Summit looked at civil and human rights and focused on freedom of speech. Today's guest is the winner of one of the major awards at the Whistleblower Summit, the Pillar Award. For the hour today, we speak with independent journalist, artist, and activist Abby Martin. Abby Martin was former host of Breaking the Set on RT and works at MediaRoots.org. We'll be talking with Abby Martin about all things free press and free speech. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. I'm Mickey Huff. Today on the program, we have Abby Martin. She is the founder of Media Roots, an artist and independent journalist. You may also remember that Abby Martin had a show on Russia Today called Breaking the Set for several years that looked at a lot of the kinds of news stories that are ignored by the corporate news media. So a lot of overlap there with Project Censored. And Abby Martin also sits on the board of the Media Freedom Foundation that oversees Project Censored. And Abby joins us today by phone.
Yes, Mickey, great to be on.
Thanks so much for being on, Abby. And in Washington, D.C., they're celebrating this past week the National Whistleblower Summit. And in fact, they're celebrating something called National Whistleblowers Day, which is July 30th. And if people want to find out a little bit more about that summit, you can go to whistleblowersummit.com. And this year, of course, they're not only celebrating freedom of speech, but Black Lives Matter. Michael McCray, one of the organizers of the event, said, "There is no freedom of the press without news sources. There can be no congressional oversight without government informants. Whistleblowers are the fifth estate, protecting freedom and liberty from government overreach and corporate abuses." And Project Censored is one of the co-hosts and sponsors of this. And Abby Martin, one of the things that happens every year at this Whistleblower Summit is the committee puts together a group of honorees, people that they find are doing exemplary work in fields that honor whistleblowers, whether they're people in government office or media, that really understand the significance of whistleblowers and whistleblowing and maintenance of a democracy. Project Censored actually won their award last year called the Pillar Award for New Media and Journalism. And this year, Abby Martin, you are among the recipients of the Pillar Award in broadcasting, you and also KPFA Pacifica's own Dennis Bernstein from Flashpoint. So, Abby Martin, let's start out just by congratulating you for that Pillar Award and for your amazing achievements in journalism just over the past several years. And let's talk about that. Let's talk about your amazing achievements, actually, since you are being honored at the Whistleblower Summit. When you were on Breaking the Set, for example, you spent quite a bit of time dealing with whistleblowers. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, it's amazing to be honored by such an exemplary organization, especially working in concert with Project Censored and honoring so many amazing whistleblowers and independent journalists, because, of course, in the establishment's eyes, Russia Today is a joke. Everything we cover on the network is just generalized as Russian propaganda. So it's really great to be noticed and to have people who understand the medium, understand the dire state of journalism today, the landscape of media, and why it's so necessary to have outlets that allow you to talk about corporate power, that allow you to talk about whistleblowers and the struggle that they're facing today, especially in the U.S., where Obama's charged more whistleblowers with espionage than any other administration. So on Breaking the Set, I was able to have that platform, being a state-funded entity, to talk about just that, to honor people like Thomas Drake, talk to Bill Binney, Kurt Wiebe, Jesselyn Raddick, all of these different people talk about Edward Snowden constantly and Chelsea Manning. And I know that, of course, the establishment media talks about them when they frame them, right, as the traitor hero debate, these kind of false equivalencies, when really it's much more nuanced. Whistleblowers are pioneers who risk their lives to tell us what's going on, the malfeasance that's happening in government, in social organizations, and corporations, and we need to protect those people and honor them. And I'm really excited to be a part of just that broad movement and keep pushing forward that narrative, Mickey.
Indeed, Abby. And, you know, the platform you had, you just mentioned that it's often the case that anything that has a narrative, any institution, any media outlet, any journalist that goes against or bucks the official narrative that we see in both corporate media, that we see coming from government and public relations organizations and so forth, they tend to get cast aside or dismissed. And there's often a guilt by association that's done to attack people that mm-hmm. counter the narrative. And you just mentioned one of them, right? You mentioned one of the approaches was because of the platform, because of the station, the channel, Russia Today, where you had Breaking the Set, people use that to launch attacks against you as if it's only a Russian propaganda outlet. One only need to tune in to episodes of Breaking the Set to see that that actually wasn't the case at all. You were doing hard-hitting investigative journalism 5 days a week.
Right, and I never covered a pro-Russian story once. In fact, I spoke out against Russia multiple times on the network, but of course that doesn't bode well with the narrative either. So it's just really easy, especially in D.C., where everyone's kind of part of the establishment, lobbying for the establishment, working in the establishment, to look at Russia Today and just say, don't listen to anything on that network. But of course, critical minds, critical thinkers can do what you said, just look at the content and decide for themselves. I always tell people, avoid the bias. You can go there knowing exactly what the bias is. It's obviously funded by Russia. You're not going to get the truth, per se, about Russia, going to Russia Today. But you can get the truth about the U.S. government, corporations. So it's just about navigating around the biases of all these mainstream media networks, because all of them have questionable funding, unless you're looking at an organization like Project Censored or Real News, you know, these really grassroots kind of bottom-up organizations. So it's a matter of discerning as a critical thinker and an independent mind around those to get the information of the day and decide the narrative for yourself.
It's true. And of course, you do this at Media Roots as well, as mediaroots.org is a website where people can listen to podcasts and a lot of the other work mm-hmm. that you do, and the work that you do there with your brother, who also has done some highly commendable work, investigative work and journalism. People can go to mediaroots.org. Well, let's get back to this topic here of, again, attacking the messenger. And you're mm-hmm. what you're saying is what we've been saying at Project Censored for a long time. And that is, of course, you consider the source. Of course, you look at funding. Of course, you ask these kinds of questions. However, when you're looking at a specific story, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say it's the Snowden story. Let's say it's the Manning story. Let's say that it's a whistleblower story. You know, the interesting thing is that what I saw you doing and other independent journalists doing was focusing on the messages, not the messenger, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of shooting the messenger, you were focusing on the material that, say, Manning or Snowden released. Can you talk a little bit about what a couple of those big stories were that you covered that, of course, the corporate media virtually ignored?
Yeah, I mean, during the lead-up to the Chelsea Manning trial, everyone was just focusing on what the damage that she did, all of the casualties that she might have caused, when really the government has come out time and time again saying that there was no casualties, there was no actual national security threat or effect based on her revelations. Instead, her revelations exposed huge swaths of government corruption, war crimes across the board, collusion with spying between private intel and governments. That's what she exposed. But unfortunately, we've come away thinking that her leaks actually caused damage. Look no further than when John Oliver, host of Last Week Tonight, talked to just random people on the street about Snowden, and all of them basically had no idea really what he exposed. They just said, oh yeah, they knew who he was, and they said, oh yeah, his leaks have harmed the country and harmed the government. All false. And that's really unfortunate, because that means that the media has pushed forward this narrative to make us think that these whistleblowers have caused significant damage to national security, when in reality, it's the complete opposite. It's exposed government criminality, the mass spying apparatus that Edward Snowden has exposed. It's just unbelievable that people take away the character assassinations, that Edward Snowden is this guy who's now, you know, living in Russia, potentially working with the FSB, the Russian government, to hurt the U.S. It's just really, really sad, Mickey, because the truth really gets filtered down and so obfuscated. Look no further than what whistleblowers have exposed over the years. Look at what Daniel Ellsberg exposed. I mean, he was hailed, and now we are cracking down so hard on these people, and it's really quite astounding when you have the government itself honoring whistleblowers 2 years ago with a day, yet at the same time cracking down more than ever before on what these people are doing.
It's quite an Orwellian phenomenon that there certainly are some people in Congress that understand the significance of whistleblowers and whistleblowing and also have championed transparency in government. And again, the interesting thing about the Whistleblower Summit and some of the people that might be honored by the summit, it isn't such that everyone is in agreement across the board with every single thing that these people are doing. For example, last year, one of the people that was honored was Rand Paul. And of course, I know you have had some run-ins with Rand Paul. Perhaps you want to talk a minute about some of that. But he was honored for standing up against the drone strikes, right? But this is another example of while on one hand, people like Rand Paul were lauded for standing up for transparency regarding drone strikes and so forth, he's also somebody that tried to come after you at RT and breaking the set. So again, it's hard to laud these people when you look at the full context, because Paul also has shown himself to not exactly be who he claims to be, and certainly not necessarily be a champion of transparency in terms of journalism.
A lot of people love Rand Paul. I don't see it. I think that he's just kind of vying for that chance, that one in a million chance that he's somehow going to get the nomination. It's a total pie-in-the-sky joke. In reality, he should have echoed his father's sentiments if he really wanted even to have a standing chance to get groundswell support beneath him, because now he's just not only capitulated to the neocons time and again in terms of foreign policy, but when it comes to the domestic front, I simply asked him a question in a public press event. He was leaving a public press event. I was there with my press pass, totally legally in the hall, the rotunda. And, you know, he walked past me. I was trying to ask him a question about why he was endorsing Mitt Romney's foreign policy. He just whizzed past me. Fine. End of story, I thought. Fast forward a week later, I come to RT, and there's a Capitol officer basically threatening to arrest me and strip the entire network's press credentials because they said I was stalking and harassing Rand Paul. And I was just floored. I said, to have him come and arrest me. I said, this is insane. Let's make this into a story. Unfortunately, because RT was kind of wanting to support the Ron Paul kind of group, you know, they were kind of catering toward the libertarians at that time. They didn't really want to go after the story. And so it kind of fell on deaf ears. But I ended up having to go and sit in basically an interrogation room with all the mainstream heads of these bureaus telling me, we've worked for years to get the access we do. We can't have people like you coming in and messing up that access. And that really tells you everything you need to know about the way journalism works in the D.C. establishment, Ricky.
We're speaking, by the way, with Abby Martin of Media Roots, independent journalist and artist. Abby Martin was creator and host of Breaking the Set on RT for, was it 3 years, Abby?
Yes.
Yes, for 3 years. Oh, could you tell our listeners where could they find those shows archived?
Yeah, so it's all on Hulu, RT.com, and the YouTube channel, which is just YouTube.com/BreakingTheSet. So you can check out all the episodes on there, and also I've archived a lot of my favorite ones on MediaRoots.org.
That's wonderful. So Abby Martin is joining us today. We're in conversation as we look at the National Whistleblowers Summit, National Whistleblowers Day, and the state of the First Amendment. I'd like to remind you, you're listening to the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. I'm Mickey Huff. After this brief musical break, we'll be back and continue our conversation with Abby Martin. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Project Censored Show. I'm Mickey Huff. We are talking with Abby Martin of Media Roots, independent journalist, also artist. We are talking about the importance of whistleblowing, the state of the First Amendment. And Abby, you just told us a profound story that really is kind of emblematic of the Washington, D.C. press establishment. In other words, what you were saying before the break was, if you go in to the halls of power and you actually ask tough questions of people that are office holders and call them out on their statements, their votes, their actions, and their funding, you're threatening the press establishment, right? In other words, you're getting a collective establishment finger wag, right? About, hey, we worked a long time to get connections to these people in power, and we're not going to mess that up by asking the tough questions. Well, you know, we know that because Chuck Todd over at NBC lamented quite publicly earlier this year that he can't ask his guests the tough questions because they won't return to the program. So, you know, again, this is the phenomenon you just described, and here's Chuck Todd over at NBC admitting that he doesn't ask the tough questions because of what Noam Chomsky and Edward Herman referred to in the propaganda model. The third major factor was sourcing, and that is this very symbiotic relationship between reporters, the press, and people in powerful positions, that if you want to maintain those positions, those relationships, I'm sorry, with people in power to get the scoop, to get the so-called inside story, which is really mostly PR propaganda to spin the story, and the press acts as lapdogs and stenographers, here you are asking the tough questions, and you're threatened with revocation of your press credentials.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, I mean, the White House Correspondents' Dinner is a perfect emblematic, symbiotic relationship between the press and, you know, these stenographer press officials and the White House, essentially. And when you look at, like, how D.C. operates, too, there's really not that many players in the game, but when you realize who they are, you see that they continue to eke out these press releases every time that continue the narrative of the war on terror and just unquestioning rhetoric from the establishment top down. Eli Lake, Jamie Kirchick. I mean, these people basically have really high level positions at Bloomberg. They're getting paid 300 G's and they perpetuate these false paradigms constantly. But unfortunately, you know, when they quote anonymous government officials, they're not charged with espionage. You know, when they leak government documents that are wanted to be leaked, they're not charged. You know, it's a quite interesting hypocritical state that we have in terms of press, because when you have people risking their lives to leak actual information that can hurt the government, not help them, wow, the hammer comes down really hard.
It's quite a riveting tale. In fact, since you brought up that press correspondence dinner, and of course the one thing that just screams to mind was when Stephen Colbert did it back in 2006, actually had that quote here, which is pretty interesting. Well, he's admonishing the press corps and says, let's review the rules. Here's how it works. The president makes decisions. He's the decider. The press secretary announces those decisions, and you people of the press type those decisions down. Make, announce, type. Just put them through a spell check and go home. Get to know your family again. Make love with your wife. Write that novel you got kicking around in your head. You know, the one about the intrepid Washington reporter with the courage to stand up to the administration. You know, fiction. I guess you have to rely on the court jesters to say the emperor wears no clothes, because it's couched in funniness. This is what I've said about these late night jokers, The Daily Show, The Colbert Report. You mentioned John Oliver. And of course, we get information from them and insight from them. But it's interesting that what we also get from them is traditionally what we're supposed to be getting from real intrepid journalists. And, you know, you said that when you were at RT, you know, you would run into these walls. I mean, not just with RT inside, but I'm talking about within the Washington establishment.
Yeah, I mean, when I tried to interview countless figures who would just shut down the interview, but then I had on a couple people like PJ Crowley and Howard Dean who didn't know where I stood on issues, and they made a big mistake by coming on. Of course, never stepped foot in the studio again, because I did ask them hard questions that they've probably never been asked on any sort of television channel. And that's the way these things happen, is that everything's heavily vetted. Every interview is pre-taped with a high-ranking government official or former government official. They all are very, very safe. They're very, very careful. I mean, look no further than Bernie Sanders being confronted about Palestine and running away like a child. I mean, you know, it's just the same everywhere you go. When Shane Smith sits down with Obama, you're telling me all those questions weren't carefully looked through, vetted. You know, the interview's all pre-taped. He's looking through it. He's saying, this is what you can and cannot show. We do not see real intrepid journalism anymore. That's long been dead, Mickey. And we know how journalists are treated when they try to do those things. They're just allowed nowhere near these people.
Yeah, we've seen a history of again, you mentioned earlier the Obama administration attacks under the Espionage Act. And Obama actually has gone after and persecuted or prosecuted more whistleblowers, people that commit the truth. Obama has gone after more of these people than any president. And so, again, there's a strong message there that is about shooting the messenger. And you've experienced firsthand, of course, we know Christina Borges, who's done incredible work after 9/11 about self-censorship, a chilling effect. This is the kind of climate we have in the U.S. when it comes to a free press. We're ranked way down the list in terms of global free press, somewhere in the higher 30s or into the numbers of 40s out of all the countries in the world. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that we need the independent press to do to challenge these kinds of dominant narratives. And that actually gets me to another point, something that I know you've hit upon a lot. Certainly we've done this at Project Censored and gotten flack for it. And the Whistleblower Summit for Civil and Human Rights that's in Washington, D.C. this past week, this is a nonpartisan educational and charitable conference. Whistleblowing is apolitical. This is according to the organizers here of the event. It's not about left versus right. It's about right versus wrong. And the Whistleblower Summit is transpartisan in nature because not only do they honor Democrats and Republicans, but they host everyone from libertarians, conservatives, liberals, progressives across the political spectrum. And this is something that I know you've also had some experience with. Can you talk to us a little bit about your experience with sort of transcending that right-left paradigm?
I think that these parties pitted against each other, really, when you look at the fronts of them, I mean, they're really just amplify each other in terms of foreign policy. There's just indistinguishable factors between the Democrats and Republicans in terms of endless warfare and the military-industrial complex. Of course, on the domestic front, there are very small incremental differences, which, of course, keeps everyone in this state of perpetual mental slavery and intellectual bribery, where they think that they need to capitulate to the Democratic establishment in every single election. That facade has fallen for me a long time ago, of course, after the 2004 election. But, you know, the whole Obama thing has neutered people so much, because he's pioneered himself as this transparent president. But when you look at the policies, it's actually really scary, because what he's done is just codified everything that used to be happening, but was just kind of out of the radar. Extrajudicial assassinations, NDAA, indefinite detention, the Freedom Act, you know, codifying these things that were basically illegal, mass spying, and now making them legal. You know, these things with the Patriot Act sunsetted, quote unquote, but then they basically legislated mass spying, just taking it from telecom companies. So there's all of these things that Obama's done that are actually much scarier to me, because they're actually now out in the mainstream and saying, like, look, we're the transparent administration. Here's all the things that we're doing, when really they've been doing this for decades. They just took the chance after 9/11 to codify all of these insane illegal activities and make them normalize and condition people to think that this is acceptable and this is normal. And it's neutered not only the press, but the entire American public. And it needs to stop, Mickey. We need to wake the hell up.
Waking up is, of course, a big part of what is a part of the mission of independent media, of muckraking journalism. And again, we're not seeing that in the corporate news media. And by the way, speaking of the quote-unquote transparency administration with Obama, you know, we're seeing here another interesting development regarding, well, obviously the lack of transparency, where the House recently voted to ban states from labeling GMO foods. We see states like Texas banning the banning of fracking. We've seen Pennsylvania put gag laws on doctors who can't say what's in the fracking mixtures and the environmental and health threats that people are facing. The ag gags, right? We saw that with Syngenta. We see it with Monsanto, where they go after doctors. We see it with Big Pharma going after people that are whistleblowers. Most recently, in fact, at the Whistleblower Summit, a CDC whistleblower talking about problems with CDC research regarding specific vaccines and the destruction of public records. Again, that's the opposite of transparency. And the reporters that go after this, whether it was people like you, Abby Martin, or Cheryl Akison, or again, the late night court jesters sometimes get the way in on some of these things. But the interesting thing is, because of that context, at least in my estimation, one of the things we're laughing at is our own inability to change the situation, which is quite cynical. And the antidote to that is proactive truth-based journalism that focuses on whistleblowers and truth tellers. And I would say that one of the things that's problematic about those late night shows is they put us into a normalization process as a culture where we feel like the only thing we can do now is laugh. What do you think about that type of assessment? I mean, again, not saying that those shows don't serve a purpose, but, and again, we see a lot of criticism then, like, well, why didn't Jon Stewart ask Obama the tough questions?
And Eric Prince is on Jon Stewart's show, and he's just like nervously laughing. I mean, this is the unfortunate part, is that when people trust comedy for their news, they're going to hit a wall, because at the end of the day, they're still capitulating to the establishment. And it's exemplified perfectly with Bill Maher, who will fearmonger you daily about the GOP. He'll criticize tokenistically Obama when he wants to, but then he'll go on his worldwide comedy tour, pull out a cartoon check for $1 million, and fearmonger the audience about why we need to support Obama and pay him money. So, yeah, I mean, it's great to laugh at these things and to kind of have comedic relief, and it's great to have someone talking about them. But they are all still part of the establishment. They're all going to support the Democratic Party, and they're not going to tell you the revolutionary perspective. They're not going to tell you the grassroots perspective, and they're sure as hell not going to tell you real tools of action that you can be an agent of change and become media literate to decide for yourself.
We're speaking with Abby Martin, independent journalist, artist, former host of Breaking the Set at RT, also podcasts and does work at MediaRoots.org, a site she also founded. And we will continue this conversation about the state of the free press, the importance of whistleblowers, and we'll talk a little bit more about critical thinking and media literacy, which is at the core of citizenship in a self-governing society. We'll continue our discussion with Abby Martin after this musical break.
I'm sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, now just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politics. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Welcome back to the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. I'm Mickey Huff. Today's show, we're looking at the importance and significance of a free press. We are honoring whistleblowers. This past week was the Whistleblower Summit, National Whistleblower Summit in Washington, D.C. Listeners can learn more at whistleblowersummit.com. And Abby Martin's joining us for the program today. She is one of this year's recipients of the Pillar Award in Broadcasting, along with Dennis Bernstein, Pacifica and KPFA's host of Flashpoints. And Abby Martin is in some good company with people that have won these awards in the past, including Rob Call of Op-Ed News. In fact, Project Censored was honored with an award last year. And we're talking about the importance, again, of a free press. Abby was mentioning the significance of critical thinking, media literacy, and of course at Project Censored, that's one of our big missions, actually. And we are recently partnering with ACME, the Action Coalition for Media Education, smartmediaeducation.net. And we're working on something called the Global Critical Media Literacy Project, which continues our affiliates program in classrooms across the country, right? So we're actually working to help foster and create more critical media literacy presence and create more citizen journalists and journalistic activists to go out and tell the stories that the corporate media can't or won't tell. And Abby Martin, let's talk a little bit more about that, because not only is your journalism based on tenets of critical thinking, transparency, media literacy, but also your art is as a vehicle for social change. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Basically, as an activist, an anti-war activist, and coming from media literacy from the core, seeing Project Censored, getting really inspired by Peter Phillips, talking about what censorship really entails, how it's not just blacking out the story, it's framing, it's distortion. So really getting inspired, catapulting into my citizen journalism career with Media Roots and basically blending art into that. I mean, as an artist, I understand that art somehow can transcend all languages, all ideologies, and really hammer home messages that you can't really have resonate with people with words sometimes. So that's why art is so important, to really put forward these images that do that. There's this artist that's actually taken 100 images from the Gaza siege from last year and drawn over them with fine pen, to really bring this other dimension to these images that maybe would be too hard for someone to look at because they're too vivid and real. But when you look at an artist's rendition of that actual photograph, it really kind of resonate with you differently, hit you differently, make you look at the whole conflict in a different way. So that's why art is so crucial and important to do that. But in terms of media literacy, I mean, this is the fight that we're in right now. We're in an information war. Unfortunately, Alex Jones already took the domain, but it really is an info war. and it's a propaganda war. It's just such a joke when you look at the mainstream media and how everything's truncated into these ridiculous false paradigms. And then when you look at something like Project Censored, that's pulling from actual students, people who are affected by these things, the working class, the struggle of the average person, how these stories affect them, pulling this research together and really honing in on it and saying, hey, these are the stories that affect us the most. These are the stories that we're not hearing the most about. And this is why. And it's about being a critical thinker, understanding how to dissect the media landscape in an effective way. It's important to look at what the giant players are saying just so you can kind of see that framework. And then it's important to look at, you know, all these state-funded apparatus so you can see that framework because they tell a different piece of the story. And then it's important also to follow citizen journalists and support their work because those are the people really with, you know, little bias. They're not getting the funding from top down. They're going out on the ground and getting these stories really raw, really grassroots, and really telling it from the people. And so it's just about opening that landscape, following the journalists that I say you like to trust, the journalists who have proven themselves, not the network, not the name, not the brand. It's about the people that have proven themselves time and again that they care about the issues and they care about the story and they won't sell out for that message or for the money.
You know, Abby Martin, that's so true. And at Project Censored, that's a big part of our media literacy outreach and our affiliates program. Professors that we work with, whether it's our associate director, Dr. Andy Lee Roth, we just finished our next book, Censored 2016, Media Freedom on the Line. Or again, you know, Peter Phillips, who's still doing a lot of work in classes, Ken Burroughs, Susan Rahman, Nolan Higdon. There are many, many people that we work with. And this year, Elliot Cohen, and again, other, I could go on and on. There are so many. We had over 30 professors work on us with our next book. We had almost 200 students. We had nearly 20 campuses again. And if you look in the past several years, this is kind of the running average. We researched, vetted what we call validated independent news stories to over 200 stories this past year. And again, all of these stories could be part of any news cycle on any given day at any of the major corporate newsrooms, you know, when they're busy finding out whatever's going on with Kim and Kanye or whatever they're doing next with Caitlyn Jenner or when they're busy hyping up the next no thing like Ebola, right, from last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was all Ebola all the time up through the election process, and then it basically disappeared. This is in fact commonplace, this kind of fear mongering and distraction, something that we've called junk food news and news abuse. But back to your point about it's about the people. We really couldn't agree more that it's about the people. And in this case, about students and not just formal students, but just people that want to get involved and people that want to get involved in telling the story and spinning that narrative. And you, I think, really hit the nail on the head when you said about the significance of art and artists. And that could be visual art, which is something that you do. It could be music. I've been a composer for a very long time. It could be literature. Project Censored is a proud sponsor of Banned Books Week. Every year. And again, when we were mentioning earlier the Daily Shows and the Colberts and the John Olivers, it's not to denigrate the fact that these are jokers that get to say some things, but they often do get to say things and reach a different audience because of their art. Isn't that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Nina Simone said it's an artist's duty to reflect the times and reflecting them however you want to, but to reflect them nonetheless. If you're a musician, if you're a visual artist, if you're, you know, spoken word artists. I mean, it is our duty. And these horrible times that we live in with so much corruption, death and destruction around us at any given time, it really is our duty to articulate that in some way that will resonate with other people. And, you know, for years and centuries, one has to look no further than Karl Rove just kind of brazenly telling Ron Suskin of the New York Times that we're an empire and we create our own reality and you are just the actors that will report on the reality that we create. And you know what? Times are changing, Mickey, because citizen journalism, the renaissance of free press that's happening around the world is unstoppable. And for the first time, the victors are not writing the narratives. It's us who are writing the narrative, and it's the people who can get involved and change that narrative real time for the first time ever.
This is, again, while we can sit and bemoan the state of the First Amendment in some ways and the state of the so-called free press, again, you know, have to agree that we live in very exciting times. We have many tools at our disposal in the U.S. as far as citizen journalism goes. We have many, many wonderful journalists. In fact, you know, Project Censored over the years gets the rap of, well, we're telling us all the horrible things that are happening. If people pick up the books, they realize that we do those kind of things. But, you know, what we're also doing is celebrating the very people that you were saying that are out there that are telling the stories, whether it's Kevin Gostola on the Chelsea Manning case, Glenn Greenwald and the Snowden case and so forth. But, you know, again, what's interesting is we're talking about independent press or foreign press, right? Like you at when you were at RT. What does it say about the state of the press in another way, establishment media in the U.S., when we have to go to these independent or foreign sources to find out what's going on?
Yeah, especially, you know, I was being interviewed by Bob Garfield on NPR, and he was just like, he came out right off the gates and was just like, how does it feel to work for an overt propaganda network? And I was just like, well, how does it feel to work for a covert propaganda network? Because you're funded by massive oil companies. So don't come at me with this kind of framing when really the question you should be asking is, why are so many young, intrepid journalists flocking to foreign news outlets so they can do their job? That's the question you should be asking Bob Garfield and Piers Morgan. But unfortunately, these people don't, because they're in those positions precisely because they are part of the establishment and they will never buck the positions that they're in or the power that got them there. And so it is up to us, and it really just goes all across the board. I mean, for example, with the Black Lives Matter movement, thankfully it's picking up in the mainstream, but unfortunately it's being framed so disastrously that every time a Black person dies, you see just his mugshot everywhere, and then you see the cops' glamour shot juxtaposed side by side, as if we're supposed to just sympathize with these killer policemen and just immediately think that whoever they kill are criminals. And that's just one facet of the framing that we're talking about and kind of understanding the lens when you're ingesting this news.
Well, Abby Martin, let's talk a little bit more about framing, because that's part of the title of your show, Breaking the Set, right? Well, of course, the beginning of that show had an awesome shot of you putting a sledgehammer through a television, which was great art. But what are you breaking there, breaking the set? You're talking about really breaking that frame of corporate press propaganda.
Yeah, breaking every single pre-established notion of what journalism should be. You know, objectivity out the window, we know that. I mean, I'd much rather know the bias right off the bat so I don't have to tiptoe around it and say, okay, what is the government saying? And I already know what the government's saying. I already know what the narrative is. Let's just get straight to the facts here. And that's really what the show tried to do. It tried to undermine all these pre-established paradigms when it comes to Democrats versus Republicans, Hillary versus Bush. I mean, can you believe that that's where we are right now? So just totally eviscerating and uprooting that whole notion of this is what mainstream media looks like and this is what it's going to tell you, this is how it's going to be, and just totally putting a sledgehammer through every fear-mongering propaganda, you know, propagandistic just narrative that's pushed down us on a daily basis when it comes to spying. That spying is necessary, that war is a constant thing that can't be bucked or challenged, that we don't have power to change things. I mean, just kind of honing in on the people who've actually changed things. Look at the civil asset forfeiture case that just happened in Tennessee. We haven't heard about that. A small Tennessee municipality just banned civil asset forfeiture, where cops can just seize your assets. That's a huge victory. You know, all these local municipalities and referendums that are actually taking action, wow, we don't hear about those much. Why? Because it would give people the opportunity to understand that they can change things in their own community, too.
That's right, Abby Martin. And we, you know, we focus on these good news stories and some of the underreported or censored stories in the book. And of course, you know, Sarah Van Gelder and the people at Yes Magazine, they're always looking at these positive stories. Ken Burrows, that works with Project Censored, also does a lot of these, you know, very positive kind of solutions-based or solutions journalism-based kind of stories. And you're very, very right about the fact that there are many people doing these things, and there are many victories for social justice and for human rights that do go on, but they kind of get kicked over or kicked to the curb for fear that they will empower the citizenry to be more and more engaged and involved. We're speaking with Abby Martin, of Media Roots, independent journalist and artist. And Abby Martin, wouldn't be a discussion with you without going a little bit down this road. You mentioned Alex Jones before and InfoWars. At Project Censored, we did a piece with Nolan Higdon called DisinfoWars. Not attacking Jones, but looking at the role some play that do sensationalist and hyperbolic coverage about controversial issues that serve to obfuscate and muddy the waters for people that really try to ask tough questions about controversial issues. And one of the attempts that are oft made to silence people. Recently, the Bohemian Grove that you covered before, Peter Phillips has covered a lot, was going on here in Northern California. And of course, there's sound research about the people that are there, and Peter Phillips did his dissertation on it. But a lot of that stuff gets overlooked. And the story you did on the Bohemian Grove a couple years ago, they get overlooked because people like Alex Jones did a documentary on it that hyped up a lot of things that don't actually happen there. Right?
Right. And this is a huge problem. Back in 2005, 2004, when Ron Paul was first coming onto the scene politically, and there was all this fervor against Bush, and InfoWars served as kind of this hub for liberals and Republicans alike to kind of find and gravitate away from the mainstream narrative. Unfortunately, what happened was it became so hyperbolic and sensational that now everything's a false flag. Every issue they touch is basically destroyed for any legitimate journalism to really want to approach. AKA, let's just point out fluoride, for example. Fluoride, you know, when we have this whole group of people saying that fluoride is used for mind control and, you know, sodium fluoride was used by the Nazis to control people, it's like, no, you're missing the whole point. The whole point should be mass medication and the fact that other countries are banning it because we have dental hygiene now and we can brush our teeth and we don't need to have the government be putting acid from phosphate companies in water supplies. That's the issue. But unfortunately, it's untouchable because InfoWars has made it about something really hyperbolic and sensational. And you can look at everything across the board when it comes to 9/11 or vaccines or anything. And it's just really, really disruptive. And I think it siphons so much legitimate energy and causes mass hysteria, isolationism, and really takes away the agency of people thinking that they have something that they can change.
Well, you know, Abby Martin, with all the stories that you even just mentioned, we've covered fluoride at Project Censored several different times over the years. We've been around 39 years. And again, the immediate knee-jerk reaction of the public is you guys are nuts or you're crazy, because the narrative they know is the sensationalized and hyperbolic one that's been popularized in many cases as the fringe view. It's as if there's no differentiation, right? So let's say you brought up two other major issues. Let's tackle one briefly, 9/11. If you somehow challenge the government official narrative about the events of 9/11, you are akin to a conspiracy theorist. That's the term the CIA hatched in the 60s to discredit people that challenged the Warren Commission report and used it through their Operation Mockingbird programs. But the idea was to just discredit people out of the gate. So it ran the gamut in the 60s of people criticizing the Warren Commission report about, you know, was it a lone gunman? And if not, who was it? Right? These very legitimate research questions that you'll see from Mark Lane or Peter Dale Scott, even Oliver Stone. But when certain more radical elements come in and begin this hyperbolic sensationalism, it really takes away from the legitimacy of asking the questions. So what I'd like to know a little bit is, at Project Censored, we've questioned the official narrative of 9/11. We also know you've challenged the official narrative of 9/11. But in that space thereafter, a lot of people have tried to throne all of these nonsensical things that they believe that somehow means, like there were no planes or there were no hijackers.
Right.
And not only have we not said that, I know that you have never said that. So it's a real challenge to try to ask the tough questions in a climate where there's just this wall of denial and a relentless attack machine, PR attack machine against anybody that asks those questions.
Right. I mean, I've had people say, oh, you don't think 9/11 happened? And I'm like, wow, how did it come from just questioning what the government told us to me, thinking that nothing happened on that day? What was everything, some manufactured spectacle and everyone was crisis actors? No, that's ludicrous. It is really unfortunate to see people hammering down on simply questioning government narratives, especially since every single impetus of every single war has been either manufactured, distorted, or outright falsified. That's proven. Look no further than the Gulf of Tonkin attack. I mean, let's go through the list here. Do we need to really dissect it that much and say that we should question the biggest impetus that has gotten into an age of just imperial warfare and endless destruction across the planet? No. any evisceration of our civil liberties here at home? No. We should be very comfortable asking these questions. And unfortunately, when our fellow citizens hammer us down as conspiracy theorists and try to make us seem crazy for simply doing our jobs, that's a really sad state of affairs, because they're just basically doing the government's job for them. The government made it so, the climate so hysterical and so McCarthy-esque and Orwellian that simply saying blatant falsehoods and pointing them out branches you as a lunatic, Mickey. I've never seen anything like it in my life. And I mean, there's outright falsehoods that we know of. Sitting senators and congressmen have said, where's the 28 pages? How come we're covering up foreign government involvement in the attacks? This is happening right now. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's happening. And the government's covering up. And that's just one very small facet of the lies.
We're speaking with Abby Martin, independent journalist and artist. We'll be back and continue this conversation with Abby Martin after this brief musical break. I'd like to remind you, you're listening to the Project Censored Show. I'm Mickey Huff. Welcome back to the Project Censored Show on Pacifica Radio. I'm talking with Abby Martin on today's program. We're speaking about the state of the First Amendment, free press, critical thinking, conspiracy theory. We're talking about a lot of things that are really important. And also, we're focusing on whistleblowing, the importance of whistleblowing and the National Whistleblower Summit this past week in Washington, D.C. And Abby Martin, we left just before the break, and we were mentioning these problems about the terminologies of conspiracy theory. And I was recently talking with Eric Dreitzer on Counterpunch Radio, and you know, we talked about conspiracy fact, right? Let's differentiate, because you asked rhetorically, do we really need to go down that list? And unfortunately, I think we do need to go down these lists, right? You mentioned the Gulf of Tonkin, right? That was a contrivance, right? More and more, we know that Pearl Harbor was something that was allowed to take place to channel and change narratives. Whether you go back to the Spanish-American War, the Creel Commission in World War I, October Surprise, you go through the 9/11, WMDs. We've seen a lot of that WMD saber-rattling with Iran. So we do see these narratives. So they are real. They do and can happen. And again, it's a real uphill battle when those of us that want to try to have transparent, fact-based reporting around controversial issues, we get lost in the din of the noisemakers, of people that really do propound sensationalist, hyperbolic conspiracy.
What's so fascinating about it is that the establishment press has no problem projecting false flags and stuff on Russia. Whenever anything happens, it's, oh, Russia killed these journalists, Russia staged a false flag attack on the apartment bombings, which may or may not be true. But the thing is, why are you so unwilling to discern like different factors of state crimes against democracy that have happened over the last century in our own country, when many times they've been proven without a doubt? So it's just a very interesting projection to kind of obfuscate our own minds, to look inward, to apply those same notions critically at our own citizenry and government.
It is the role of the journalist to remind people, to tell people what's going on, to show people what those in power are doing and shine light in dark places. And that's not an easy thing to do. Some, of course, pay high prices for committing the truth, for trying to tell people what's really going on. In fact, journalists, of course, have been the subject of blacklistings, firings, and of course, the ultimate death. Society of Professional Journalists and Committee to Protect Journalists, you know, have written long about this. And just in the past couple of years, we've seen an escalation of attacks, not only on whistleblowers, but on journalists themselves. And we've certainly covered those stories.
I wanted to bring up something else really quickly. The Pentagon just issued a new field manual. They can kill journalists in this Pentagon field manual because it's basically encompassing and broadening the scope of journalism because there's so much citizen journalism now. That's a real slippery slope here. Going back to the whole quote-unquote transparency president, where now they can just outwardly say in literature that they can kill journalists. Think about that for a second. I mean, it's nothing new. We've seen Reuters journalists get gunned down with absolutely zero accountability in Iraq with the collateral murder video. We've seen journalists get gunned down and targeted in Gaza many times with zero accountability, total impunity there. So yes, this has been happening for quite a while. There's definitely very shady things that are happening, but this Pentagon Army Field Manual coming out so blatantly saying this is what we can do now, that should be of grave concern to everyone.
Indeed, it should, Abby Martin. And it's interesting that, you know, one of the things that journalists are supposed to do is connect the dots. But the corporate media almost just has sort of like a blast effect or shotgun effect where they just throw things out there, sometimes even saying things that are factual. But if you don't step back from it and put together the pieces of that puzzle, the public never get the opportunity, right, mm-hmm. to really make conclusions on their own based on all the evidence in one place. And that's why when we were mentioning earlier about the whistleblower summit and so-called acts committing the truth, one of the things there is that whistleblowers are this fifth estate. They try to tell reporters the things that they need to know. But given that we've seen such an attack on whistleblowers and on journalists, it's created quite a chilling effect. And as someone that has not only had their own program but runs a news website, and you're going to be having another show coming up we can talk a little bit about this fall. But, you know, again, in your experience, right, we mentioned the Rand Paul issue before. Mm-hmm. You know, what's your other experience in this of really being out there on the front lines and trying to tell people what's really going on?
Being the center of a media storm and seeing my statements on, let's say, fluoride and Israel and 9/11 being basically catapulted to the forefront, lambasting me as some crazy lunatic, meanwhile ignoring every single legitimate story that I've done that they will never touch because they're too scared to lose their job or platform, or maybe just won't touch it because they don't have credibility in their soul. But, you know, seeing me go through that whole media circus and be the center of it really just kind of broadened my horizons on how the media actually works. And now every time that I see stories that are going against, you know, Iran, North Korea, Russia, all of these really popular memes that are happening to generate fear and hysteria against these global players, I really dissect the source and I try to find out where did the story originate from, what players are really behind it, why, what outlets are covering it certain ways, to really get to the core of the truth here before we just continue to parade around these notions that will actually help the establishment in their, you know, hegemonic dominance. So it's really important to do that. Just learning that, you know, RT was really one of the only networks that allowed people like Thomas Drake and Justin Radder to come on repeatedly, and they were really happy for it. They were really grateful, and they told us a lot. You know, we get a lot of stuff and a lot of criticism for coming on RT, but we keep telling people no one else will allow us on. And just ask yourself why. Why is that? That no one will allow Thomas Drake, who basically built the entire, like, apparatus, tried to come out to talk about 9/11 whistleblowing, and he's totally ostracized in the mainstream media. Instead, we're told that these people want to be famous, that they're trying to get popular. Yeah, it's really a great idea to try to be famous and risk your life, that people are calling for your public execution, that you can never come back to your home country, you have to leave everything behind, to tell these stories. That's the people we need to honor.
And look, just this past week again, we saw the White House rejecting any notion of a pardon for Edward Snowden. We're not seeing progress made in a direction that shows that the Obama administration respects whistleblowers. And again, this is more of the irony here, that at the same time they're honoring a National Whistleblower Day, the same week the White House basically goes on another attack on Edward Snowden. You could say it's a mixed message in terms of propaganda, but the reality are the actions, right? You can pay lip service that honors journalists and a lip service that honors whistleblowers, but when your action goes the opposite direction, persecution, prosecution, Thomas Drake knows that, unfortunately, all too well. John Kiriakou, whom you've also spoken with, right, who outed CIA torture. You know, and remember that before these people came out, if you mentioned that the CIA engaged in torture, you were a conspiracy theorist, you hated America,
right,
you were with the terrorists. If you mentioned the NSA spied on everybody, you were a paranoid, delusional lunatic. And, you know, the AT&T whistleblower, Mark Klein, is the one that did that. And then the Bush White House told the New York Times to sit on the story. They sat on the story. Reuters, as you mentioned before, from the collateral murder video that Chelsea Manning released, knew about this before it was ever released and decided to do nothing about it. we live in a society where there are people trying to commit the truth, as it were, but the price that people pay is so great.
The New York Times said on the story, like, the obedient little lapdogs they are. And especially, you know, Obama going and making these tokenistic gestures at prisons. First of all, it's insane that no sitting president has visited a prison before, even tokenistically. What the hell? They're just ignoring such a vast portion of the population that's sitting rotting behind bars. That's astounding in itself. But yeah, everyone's applauding him as the black president we've all been waiting for. Look at Obama's finally doing what he said he did. It's all rhetoric. Yeah, he's articulating the problem finally. He has nothing left to lose. But what is he doing? What is he doing to address this issue? Treat cops like everyone else. Charge them with murder. Put them away in prison. If they kill people, we have cops every day on video killing people. Activists dying in jail cells. No accountability. I mean, treat police like everyone else in the eyes of the law. And until that happens, I really don't see how this massive overhaul of our criminal justice system is going to happen.
Well, again, we see it's lame duck season in Washington for Barack Obama. So we do see some of this rah-rah rallying the Democratic Party base. But again, you know, you don't even need to have that long of a memory to realize that this is somebody that's been in office 6-7 years. Let's look at the record, not the rhetoric, right? And that's what journalists are supposed to do. And while we certainly see people in the independent press doing that, and we just don't see enough of it getting out and catapulting through the megaphone of the corporate press or the corporatocracy, but we shouldn't expect it to, because they're the megaphone of the plutocracy. And that's why we need whistleblowers, we need independent journalists, and we need people committing the truth to tell us what's really going on. And Abby Martin, you have been a significant contributor to telling people what's really going on. And as we wrap up here our discussion, can you tell us a little bit about what is going to be going on with you this fall? You are going to be re-emerging, and you're going to have another hard-hitting investigative journalistic program. Is that right?
It's going to be a weekly investigative news show where I'm really going to have the opportunity and time to hone in on just specific issues and really get to the core to just provide a really comprehensive, hard-hitting, indisputable, fact-based program. That's really just getting to the core of empire. It's going to be called The Empire Files, and we're just going to be looking at the global hegemon and how it relates power, conflict, security around the world, how those issues intertwine and affect the average person and basically exploit the working class worldwide, because, you know, the systems globalize, the struggle needs to be globalized, and the awareness needs to be globalized, and we need to stand in international solidarity with our brothers and sisters everywhere who are being persecuted, penalized by our tax dollars primarily. That's really important to understand, and understand how these issues affect everyone and how we are complicit as American citizens. We can't just sit idly by as passive actors watching this unfold. We need to get engaged. We need to become media literate. We need to become active.
That is absolutely on point, Abby Martin. And even working in a critical media literacy and a media education component to such a program that would encourage citizen journalists, you know, even having a segment, you know, that was fallacy and frame of the week, you know, where you highlight, you know, the most egregious ad hominem, the most egregious red herring, the most egregious straw person attack of the week, so to speak, to really key in viewers to, hey, don't even just sit there and believe everything I'm telling you. Screw your head on and get your thinking cap on. You know, Emma Goldman once said the most unpardonable sin in society is independence of thought. And I think that the best journalists among us, the best teachers among us, are people that don't become the propagandists. They simply encourage people to come into the debate and think clearly, transparently, source information, and then contribute accordingly. And I think that that's something that you've tried to do. I know that's something we continue to try to do at Project Censored, and we really look forward to your new program this fall.
Thank you, everyone at Project Censored. You guys have been a huge source of inspiration to me. You've been my mentors, guiding me through my entire career, and I just am really honored to be working with you guys in the future, and I encourage everyone to get involved. The project's open for everyone, and we're all in this together.
Absolutely. Abby Martin from Media Roots, founder and former host at Breaking the Set at RT, artist and activist. Abby Martin, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I'm sure we'll be catching up again in the near future.
Thanks so much, Mickey. It's been a pleasure.
Liberated land, supporting human conditions, not free market propaganda and corrupt politicians, because they own by special interest groups that fund their campaign.
So that does it for our program today. Thanks so much for joining us. The Project Censored Show airs on 25 stations around the U.S. For more information and to listen to archives of previous shows, go to www.projectcensored.org. Please follow and like us on Facebook at Project Censored. Anthony Fest is our producer. We thank him for his support and work over the years. I'm Mickey Huff. Peter Phillips will be back next week, and we'll see you next time.